All right.
I got some new music out there for y'all as we return on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. as we do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for NJRR Live. This is Brian Powers. I want to thank you all for tuning in on the Revolution Radio Network. And what is that? I mean, some of you may not even know what's going on. This was New Jersey Revolution Radio, and now you're seeing on Idavox and all these YouTube screens that you're not used to seeing this bearded dude on. Well, what's happened is we have founded a grassroots media network meant to bring a bigger presence to the causes that our capitalist system ignores. While I've been taking in a lot of corporate media over the last couple of weeks, unfortunately, with the election, everything, I've been forced to watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all this other fucking garbage that we call journalism in this country. Meanwhile, I look at groups like Antifa. I look at what New Jersey Revolution Radio was doing. I look at all these live streams out there, and I see the grassroots trying desperately to get our system to pay attention to the needs of the proletariat, but it's not happening. So you know what? We're doing it ourselves like grassroots activists and organizers should be. So I'm really proud of what has become a national grassroots activist network known as Revolution Radio. You can find us on the web, www.njrevolutionradio.com. My name is Brian Powers. I've been an organizer, union organizer for decades now. I love highlighting my comrades who do all this work every day, basically for nothing. Nobody ever gets any money. Nobody gets any fame. Nobody gets anything out of it other than getting kicked around by cops and made fun of by your relatives. But in the end, we help create a political narrative that fights for social justice, that fights for Black Lives Matter, that fights for an environment that my kids and my grandkids may be able to live in comfort in. And that's what we're here for. So please check us out. And what we're highlighting tonight as we get into gear for 2021 is a new production, which you may have caught a few pilot episodes of. I'm really, really proud. I passed my audition and I get to stay on the show now that we're on regular productions with a guy that I've been lucky enough to work with over the last couple of years, Daryl Lamont Jenkins, the founder of One People's Project. And I don't want to give him a whole lot of intros because most of y'all know who this guy is more than you know who I am. But let's check out the new introduction for the Idavox Report, which is premiering tonight, kind of after some pilots, but will return to you starting next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. every week right here on the Revolution Radio Network to keep you informed about right-wing activity and dangerous activity that we can all, you know, keep an eye on going forward so this Trump shit don't happen again. All right, so let's take a look at and get ready to participate in the Idavox Report featuring Daryl Lamont Jenkins.
Hey, y'all.
How you doing?
Hello, hello.
There he is. There's our star of the show, Daryl Lamont Jenkins. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. That looks good, didn't it?
I love it, man. Yeah. I was excited. I like that. I was talking to Christian before the show saying, man, you got to see the graphics and stuff. And then he watched. He said, I love it. We were commenting on the graphics. Very 80s hip hop, the bubble letters that kind of come in and move around a little bit, man. It was Daryl right away. We knew Daryl did that. It was no question that who designed it. It's beautiful.
It reminded me of the cover of the first Rage album.
I didn't want to do that to people. But I want to give a shout out to Midnight Transit. That's the band that wrote that song Stand Up and Fight. Midnight Transit is based out of California. It's Dylan Chambers' group. If you're not familiar with that last name, Chambers, he is the son of Lester Chambers. of the Chambers Brothers. Mm-hmm. And if y'all know the Chambers Brothers, they have been around for decades, for over 60 years and everything. I want to say good grief. Why am I drawing a blank? Time. That's the name. That's how everybody know, they know that song, that the time has come. And I grew up with the Chambers Brothers. I mean, a lot of people might not be too familiar with them because a lot of people don't talk about them, but I can guarantee if you listen to music today, that music was influenced by the Chambers Brothers. You like Sly and the Family Stone? Chambers Brothers predates the family Sly and the Family Stone, and that's the same kind of stuff you're going to get. Parliament Funkadelic, they owe it to the Chambers Brothers, you know?
Okay.
So by all means, check out the Idavox report, because hopefully soon, probably even next Tuesday, we're going to have Dylan and Lester Chambers on the show. So it'll be great if y'all can participate. And I want to thank everybody for the support. And I'm really getting into this podcast thing.
somebody noted that I misspelled Blue in the title, and I want to know, and I don't give a fuck.
Oh, Eddie, yeah.
Just so you know, I don't care.
I think I made that mistake. Was it you? Yo, you wrote it.
Yeah, sure, you did.
And but see, there's a lot of stuff that but obviously there's going to be some serious stuff that we got to discuss. We got to discuss the things that are going on, especially over the past couple of weeks. Pretty much things have come to a head now. When it comes to the right, when it comes to the right wing extremism, to the point where we're going to have to just basically figure out what the hell it is we're going to do, honestly. So the real is we're going to have to discuss it because and kind of like being forced to discuss it this today, because a couple of days ago, Jimmy Dore. He's a comedian. He's a YouTuber. You probably might be familiar with him from the Young Turks. He's no longer associated with them anymore. And he's a liberal. He leans left, but he had somebody on from the Boogaloo movement on his program after he played his video. After played his video where they declared that they that. At least he was for Black Lives Matter and such. But you can see on Twitter that he basically was shocked that there was somebody in the Boogaloo movement that was for Black Lives Matter and probably that leaned left, so to speak.
Right.
So we had him on the show. And a lot of people got upset because he was platforming somebody who basically is who is considered somebody that will be in a right-wing group or a neo-fascist group. And I know that there is somebody on the show watching this right now that's probably blowing his top because I said that, but the fact remains. So long as I have to deal with folks saying that they're going to have a second civil war in the name of right-wing politics, I got to be concerned about that at the very least. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to, I'm going to use somebody as an example, as in a local example, as to what my concerns with the Boogaloo movement is. But first I want to point out, Jimmy Dore tried to have me on the show, and unfortunately I didn't have the time to do it. So we had a friend of mine named Rod Weber on. And Rod Weber has a movie out called 2020, The Dumpster Fire. And, I'm in that as well, and just keep an eye out for that. It's a documentary. He's based out of Boston, and he does a lot of this, a lot of basically calling out folks on the right or on the liberal side, and he's a left-leaning libertarian. But he had him on the show. Jimmy Dore had him on the show, but we haven't seen the video yet. What we have seen was Jimmy Dore have Daryl Davis on. Now, for those who don't know Daryl Davis, he's a guy that that works with trying to convert Klansmen. And he says he has converted over 200 Klansmen, including some Grand Wizards and all that. But And whatever, and this is not so much about Darryl Davis so much as because he's got to do what he's got to do. But the truth of the matter is, you can't have Darryl Davis. Darryl Davis can't save you, not from the Boogaloo movement, not from the embracing or platforming of right wing circles, especially in this time when we just saw right wing figures storm the U.S. Capitol. So I want to try to basically speak to what my concerns are in regards to Boogaloo underscore fact. And I'm going to use a guy that's local. His name is Paul Miller. And he's not local anymore. He lives down in Florida right now. And he moved from my hometown, from my town here in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I first came across him in May. And I saw he was down with the Boogaloo and all that. And what he said, unfortunately, I don't have this video ready to pop up, but I remember him saying that the Boogaloo movement is the second American Civil War that will take place when the right wing, when the right does not feel that they can win national elections anymore. And that will be launched they will figure this out because they'll see with the demographic shifting that they will not be able to win national elections anymore. And that will spark the second American Civil War. And so the Boogaloo movement is supposed to be the catalyst for that. Now, where did I catch this dude? He was a part of the reopen rallies back in, the spring of last year. And, you know, he was wearing his Hawaiian shirt. He was wearing his Boogaloo neck gaiter and everything. And he was hyping up that Civil War there. And, Leah, if you have the video that says says Gypsy Crusader, by the way, that's his screen name. That's his screen name whenever you see him around, Gypsy Crusader. This dude has called for called for Ilhan Omar to Representative Omar to be executed, for Bill Gates to be murdered in his home, cheered on the Muslim mass shooting in New Zealand. This guy is a hot mess, but this is video of him at one of the reopen rallies. And I should note, this reopen rally in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, was on the same date that George Floyd was killed. No one knew it yet, but this is what happened. This is what happened on that day.
I just want to say, because I think that, you know, I've been watching Jimmy try to get ready to respond before he play the clip, and Jimmy keeps asking the question of why shouldn't we work with these people because they said they like Black Lives Matter. Jimmy, I hope you're paying a fucking attention. This is why we shouldn't be working with these people. Go ahead, Leah. Pleasure.
Every time I come, Jeff, you want the foot? He converted, and he is a Boogaloo boy now. We got to get you a Hawaiian shirt, too. Hawaiian shirt, too.
You know the mainstream media is not going to report the numbers. They're going to say 12 people showed up.
Next time.
Now, he runs something on Telegram called the Gypsy Crusader News Network, and you can see a lot of stuff about him. And he has since gone completely Nazi. He has since gone completely Nazi. If you take a look at East Brunswick, Paul Miller, East Brunswick, that will also show just how bad he is. This is him talking about Black Lives Matter. See if we can get to that. And this is going to be important considering what we heard today. So consider what we heard on Jimmy Dore's show. Mm. And then I want to bring up the whole thing about how can we work with him. It's a little rough. It's a little rough because when you talk about look, the right has to come to us. We can't go to them, to be real. And the truth of the matter is, I think when it comes to people people try to tell me all the time, we should try to work together because we're all against the government. We're all against some political corruption and all that, and we should be fighting it. But we can't trust. We cannot trust what comes out of the right. For very good reason. They keep saying they want to kill us. Hell, we just heard it from Marjorie Taylor Greene, Miss QAnon.
Well,
here's what we need to hear from.
We have the second clip there, Leah.
And there's also video connected to this where he's at the at a pro-Trump rally that was alongside Route 18 in East Brunswick. And I don't want to take up too much time because we're because I know we're coming up at 8:30. So, and I want to get Abner in here right quick.
They want to overthrow our system. They advocate for tearing up the Constitution and overthrowing the American system. Then, in the same breath, sit there and say, they have a right to protest under the First Amendment. You want to destroy the First Amendment. You want to rip up the Constitution. How dare you sit there and say you want to hide behind it and protest? You have a right to nothing. Nothing. They are communist insurgents, and that's how they should be treated. They not even peaceful protest. They have a right to nothing, not to assemble, not to get together, nothing. They are not even American citizens anymore, as far as I'm concerned. The second that they started to advocate for overthrowing everything and replacing it with a communist system, they've lost all that right. They're done. That's all.
Nope, only white lives matter. Only white. Yeah, I am. Hail Hitler.
There you go. All right, thanks a lot for that clip. I think we got that.
Yeah, I mean, we got. Yeah, we don't have to get him screaming the N-word out of folks. And by the way, he generated an article in the Daily Dot because him and his brother was harassing a black man, calling him the N-word down in Florida. So We will see, and we see him all the time harassing people dressed as the Joker or dressed as the Riddler in recent days. But like I said, you can check out, see what he's about on his Telegram channel, and you can see for yourself what we are dealing with. But I want to go. I've talked enough. I want to go to Abner. Abner, okay, I screwed up, Abner. I totally forgot how to pronounce your last name. Can you help me?
It's Haugi. It's Haugi.
Abner Haugi. You got a little feedback coming up all of a sudden, but he is with Left Coast. Oh, good grief! Why am I blanking?
You got some weird audio stuff going on right now here.
Oh, is mine all right? All right.
No.
Yeah, let's make sure we got that. Let's make sure we got the okay. He's with Left Coast Right Watch, and recently he was just profiled in a Washington Post article about his work in doxing and in informing people of what is going out there among the right. And he wrote several articles about the Boogaloo movement. And I want him to explain what it is he's seen. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Where do you want me to start?
We gotta check. Oh yeah, by the way, someone just said pronoun check, Abner. Is they them?
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies.
It's all good.
Because I did know that.
Comrade is a great pronoun neutral term. If you notice, I use it all the time.
All right, we gotta fix your audio. This is gonna be bad if we don't.
Okay.
Now we got you. So yeah, I'm gonna let you start where we should start. What have you seen come out of the Boogaloo movement?
All right. So here's the thing about the Boogaloo movement. They're a deliberate, coordinated effort that's kind of, think about them as like, instead of like the alt-right back in the day trying to infiltrate the Republican Party, like this is kind of a libertarian, like insurgent accelerationist movement. It's like libertarian flavored. So like they'll kind of use this, the Libertarian Party like BS talking points of like, oh, well, we're not for we're not racist and we're just for access and liberty for everybody, but everything that they believe in, their entire approach to what freedom is and everything just comes out of settler colonialism. Like it's, I want to be free to have like all the guns I want and all of the land I want and be like the baron of my little fiefdom or whatever. It's basically a bunch of guys who just want to like carve up their own little territories and like be kings of their own little castles and stuff. But these guys, like back a few weeks after George Floyd was murdered, like we uncovered this, we went into this Boogaloo movement Discord server that had 2,000 members called Citizens Liberty Organization, and they had like an entire channel devoted to public relations, and they had a public relations document. So we leaked it. And what did the public relations document say? Is it was coaching them on how to infiltrate and observe Black Lives Matter protests so that they could push things in a way where they could just start shooting at cops and start a mass, you know, a chain of violent events that would let them like break the United States apart. It's accelerationism. It's just not the kind of accelerationism that, you know, Adam Waffen had a couple years ago, where it's like we're going to blow up infrastructure so that we can collapse the United States government and then carve little white ethno states on it. No. It's these guys are way less coherent, and they're way more just about, I want to get to the collapse stage so that I can make a little like libertarian, like anarcho-capitalist, which isn't really anarchist at all. They always call themselves anarchists, but what they mean is they're ANCAPs, which means that they're like just hyper-capitalist extremists who just want to like carve out their own little fiefdoms for themselves. So what these guys do is like, I've seen videos of these guys. Okay. Here's how you know they're racist. Let me describe one Boogaloo boy to you in Texas. I forget his name, but he had a Hawaiian print wrapped pit helm, like an old British like serviceman in like the Congo or something. And he had his Hawaiian shirt and a giant elephant gun looking gun. And he would film himself walking a block behind Black Lives Matter protesters. What does that look like to you? What does that seem like he's doing to you?
Like he's hunting black people.
Yes, of course. Yes. Bingo.
Exactly.
So these guys all have the, like, getting back to this public relations document we leaked, like, I don't know, 9 months ago. They, one of the lines in the public relations document was, remember, they think these protests are about black lives. This is them talking about Black Lives Matter protests. And in their private chats, they're fantasizing about trying to infiltrate the crowd and get them to accept that these Boogaloo boys with guns will march with them, and then trying to push the crowd, then slowly trying to push the crowd and needle them in ways where they'll push against the cops so that the cops can shoot them with live ammunition and the Boogaloo boys can shoot back and have these shootouts. And there are Boogaloo boy. There's like one Boogaloo boy. I think his name was Solomon, who like, he actually took his AK and he went and shot it a bunch of rounds into the police precinct that they lit on fire in Minneapolis. And, you know, he got arrested. And you know why he got arrested was because these guys, a lot of them aren't very bright. Like he wanted to an FBI agent said, oh, we're from Hamas and we want you to make silencers for us. And these guys were like, oh, cool.
Oh, good grief.
Hamas thinks we're cool and wants to work with us. And me and my writers were just laughing when we saw the court documents.
I did not know that.
Because we just imagined the meeting like, you know, one of those old racist, like Orientalist movies where like, we are different, but we have the same enemy.
and that's
kind of the thing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I was going to point out, incidentally, I was also going to ask you, I should point out that the guy Magnus that Jimmy Doris interviewed on his show, he supports Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
So, and that didn't come up.
And a bunch of them didn't come up.
Can I say something? Yeah. I have to talk about, like Jimmy Dore just having this guy Magnus on his show. It for those of us that saw the video, he literally had no idea who the Boogaloo boys were. And he's finding out in real time who they are. So I mean, as an educator, as somebody who Brian always busts my chops for having pages and pages of notes, it's just irresponsible and lazy. Yeah. Right. They came out years ago. They traded in their hoods for neckties. Right. When they want to call themselves anarcho-capitalists, they're not anarchists. They want to call themselves, you know, say that they support workers or Black Lives Matter. They don't. We forget that the Nazis use left-wing language. They appropriated left-wing language. I'm sorry, to trick German people into joining their movement. These are people that cannot be trusted. Right. This is a man, Jimmy Dore, who spent weeks saying that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was a gutless wonder. Right. But didn't even know who the Boogaloo Boys were. So it's irresponsible. It's unprofessional. And people are rightfully beating him up for it. He deserves it.
Yeah. And that's absolutely true. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's trying to be an apologist. He routinely, I understand, is an apologist for a lot of this stuff, and it does need to stop. And part of the thing to Abner's point, and I want to get back to you on this, is that I recall early on there was a killing in there was a killing of I believe two police officers or one police officer.
That was them.
Yeah, and that was them. The interesting thing about that was that Ted Cruz had a Senate hearing on Antifa, and he attributed those killings three times in this hearing to us, to Antifa.
Was the Boogaloo Boys' point. That's why they did it the way they did. I was out in Oakland that night, and I've seen the bullet holes in that building where that cop was murdered.
Just one cop. Okay.
Well, they
Whitmer in Michigan. That was them.
Yeah.
Now I want to be careful with that because we do have there is some barometers. I wasn't sure whether or not that was them or it was a straight up three percenters.
I saw that it was. I'm sorry. You guys are the experts. From what I saw, I'd heard that it was Boogaloo, that they were involved in that.
I would have to research that. One of them just pled guilty today.
Yeah, they were associated with it. Like, they're kind of like, you know, the Boogaloo movement isn't a completely centralized movement. There are more, you know, they're more explicitly like, you know, old school militia guys is who have their own line of thinking, more patriot movement line of thinking.
Like and Timothy McVeigh, would you say?
Pardon?
Like along the lines of a Timothy McVeigh, almost back in the 90s.
I mean, yeah, and you know, like
you Boogaloo can definitely see that influence in these lunatics. Yeah,
I mean, I know we're pushing up on time, and I really apologize, Abner. I'm going to hear Brian. How much time do we have? Because I want to
two, three more minutes, and then we'll
okay. So Abner, I want to make sure that everybody knows where to find you too. By the way,
sure.
Because a lot of the information that we can find out and where Jimmy could have gone to find out about the Boogaloo movement. Where do we find the articles and what kind of articles will they find at your website? Was it Left Coast?
Left Coast Riot Watch. So leftcoastriotwatch.org and at LCRW News on Twitter. Yeah, we've written several articles on the Boogaloo movement at this point. We've released their what's probably the largest Boogaloo movement Discord server where they plotting and planning all of the racist stuff. We did an open source Earth intelligence analysis on their martyr Duncan Limp and his ties to like just amazingly racist accelerationist groups like State of Appalachia who want to balkanize the United States. So like, yeah, we're not making this up. These guys are racists who want to like see the United States collapse on itself in the Civil War.
Now I'm going to ask this because I think it's only fair. What about those that are a part of these groups thinking that they are helping Black Lives Matter, thinking that they are helping progressive ideals? What would you say to folks who will insist upon the fact that they're probably doing some good? And how do we just make up, how do we just encourage them to think otherwise? Because quite frankly, if you're down with this, you got to recognize the deal breakers. If you're about, if you're about anti-fascism, if you're about Black Lives Matter, you got to recognize that why people are so upset about these particular groups, because this is not the only group. Proud Boys try to do this to me all the time too. What would you say to folks who are within these groups that are looking to do good, truly looking to do good?
What good has the so I just ask him, like, okay, so what good have you done as a Boogaloo boy? What good has your movement done? Because all I see is a bunch of racists online from like the K board on 4chan getting together and like trying to meme a civil war into existence and pretending that like saying racism is not cash money is a good enough band-aid over like how many of them worship Rhodesia. Like, what are you doing? There are anti-racists. There are anti-fascists. There are anti-fascists who like do weapons trainings and weapon safeties trainings. There's like John Brown Gun Club and stuff. Like, what are you doing? Why are you bothering with these guys?
Right. And I want to, and that's the bottom line, really. I mean, there are other groups you can join if you really want to do good. You don't have to be a part of this. Even if you do have an issue with communism and Marxism, as usually is the scuttlebutt, there is other groups that you can be a part of. That will be a lot more positive. So I want to thank you, man, for coming out. Out of Box Report is going to be rocking and rolling, and I really want to have you on from time to time, if you don't mind.
Anytime.
All right. And I want to thank Brian. I want to thank Christian for setting everything up, because we're going to be really just hitting the ground running right now. And I guess that's it for us today.
There you go. So thanks a lot, man. We're going to take us out here. And we're going to come back with NJR Live panel hosted by Christian on the first few days of the Biden administration. So we're going to talk a little more in the electoral politics round with some editorial members. But I want to thank our new comrade, Abner, for coming here all the way from the West Coast, California. You know, we're expanding out from New Jersey, so it's really exciting to really be national tonight, like really be across the whole country. So thanks for coming on.
Coast to coast, baby.
Next Tuesday, right, brother? Hey, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, baby. Right? Next Tuesday.
We'll see you Tuesday for the next Out of Box Report. So now we're on NJR Live. I know everybody's a little confused. We just had the Idavox report, but we're moving on to NJR Live with tonight's host, Christian Perez. Smooth as silk, baby. Smooth transition.
Thank you, Brian. Always glad to be here. Always glad to host. Today, our featured guest is Kate. Is it Minocchio or Minocchio, Kate?
Minocchio.
I was wrong both times.
Everybody is
a member of the Movement for a People's Party here in New Jersey. You like to describe yourself as an activist and an artivist. And I heard you say before that you're the one that helps design some banners for rallies and protests and whatnot.
Sure. For artivists, not just design them, but paint them. I have a good friend in New York City. We get together and she has a huge long table and we paint like these 9-foot banners.
Wow.
And it keeps me from beating my head against the wall, because being involved is important.
I'm still in the stick figures part of life. I never learned to draw beyond stick figures. Leah, if you're in the background and you want to hop on this one too, come right on, because what we're going to be talking about tonight is we are a week into the Biden presidency. So normally, you know, when talking about presidents, there's this whole thing about the first 100 days. Well, it's only been a week, right? So I do want to preface this today by saying that I'm not the biggest fan of Joe Biden. I have been very critical of Joe Biden on the record on this show. He is a political opportunist. He has used black people to advance his own career. I don't think he's an honest man. I don't think he's a decent man. I think he's a person who used people to get ahead, right? And I want to preface it by saying that. If you work with white supremacists, I don't care if it's in the 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s, to further their agenda, you're not a good person. That being said, I do think he's better than Donald Trump, right? And I will be fair, and I will leave that there. So, but I did want to preface that because I didn't want to be the guy to come in and start singing Joe Biden's praises, because it only has been a week, and I'm not going to delude myself into thinking that, you know, that everything's
you are okay. Going to be the nicest one to him.
Maybe I will be the nicest one. But there was a meme that came out like a week ago, and it said, this is the first time Democrats have control of government since the last time Democrats had control of government. Exactly. Right? It's been 4 years. And
that worked out for us.
Yeah. I mean, Trump was a disaster. Trump was bad. And these 4 years have felt like 20. So we're at a point now where Joe Biden is starting to, in one hand, he's preaching unity with Republicans, but he's also doing everything he can to roll back Trump's legacy. Which is a good thing. So there's a couple points I want to make here before I ask you folks some questions. I have it like a non-exhaustive list here of some of the things Biden has done, right? On the pandemic, we're rejoining the World Health Organization. He just ordered 200 million more vaccines for the country. These are good things. He's bringing back DACA, which is a good thing. He's ending the Muslim ban, which was a horrible racist policy. He's allowing trans people back in the military. I mean, that I still throw, which is good for them if you want to be in the military. For me, I'm just like, I don't want to serve in the imperialist military.
I heard that this morning, and I was like, wait, that wasn't a thing? Like, you can't bully trans kids at school, which, as you shouldn't, but, like, they couldn't join the military? Like,
well, they couldn't under Trump, and that's the thing. I mean, yeah. Trump would get on TV and he talks about how much he's in favor of LGBT rights, and he lifted up that flag upside down, and then he had his awkward second daughter go on a speech for them. But I know, Kate, I know you do a lot of work in activism. You were very involved with Extinction Rebellion. So I just want to, one more, before I ask you this question, I just want to talk about climate change. He is enforcing a temporary moratorium on oil and natural gas leases in the Arctic. He is revoking the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline, which is definitely a positive. And as I said, he wants to re-enter the United States in the Paris Climate Accords. So what I'm looking for from you fine folks is just some immediate feedback. And I guess I'll start with you, Kate. Where would you like to see Joe Biden go next?
Well, he needs to stop all the pipelines. I mean, I was at Standing Rock in 2016, and that's just horrendous in how those people are treated. And these pipelines mostly go through all indigenous lands, Line 3 up in Minnesota, you know, or people of color, poor communities, like the bottom end of the DAPL pipeline is in a very poor section of Louisiana. And so some activists from Standing Rock went down to Louisiana to stand there, which was, it wasn't as big as Standing Rock. And of course they lost just like Standing Rock did, but it travels through mostly indigenous lands or people of color. Well, all pipelines go through, you know, poor communities, you know, yeah. They always suffer the most from this and they all leak and the cleanup is never anything compared to the damage. And or they abandon pipelines and then they're not held responsible for the cleanup of them either. And it's just so he needs to ban fracking totally. But, you know, Biden helped push that with Hillary. It's unnecessary. And I do believe they just want to suck every drop of oil out of the ground before they switch to renewables. And there'll be nothing left to save. By then, you know, there's no point. If we don't do something drastic like today, there's just no point in 4 years. You know, we all just should be learning survival skills. You know,
going back to the Stone Age. I mean, what's unfortunate is activists here in New Jersey that aren't going. You know, you are, but I'm not going all the way out to Keystone XL. I'm not going to Dakota Access Pipeline. But people like I'm over here in New Jersey. You know, pretty much ignorant of a lot of the science, but I knew it was going to be a disaster. I know every time they have these pipelines, there's going to be a leak, there's going to be cutting corners. And throughout this, there's always people of color, activists saying, You know, we know it's going to happen, and it always happens. And it's unfortunate. I think that's part of being an activist. There's like this, you know, that this telepathy. It's not even telepathy. It's just you could look at history and you could say it's going to be a disaster, and it ends up being a disaster. I actually wanted to ask you as a student, right? So Joe Biden, of course, progressives have been pushing to get rid of, student loan debt. And, you know, of course, there's a huge pushback from the right. And we know Joe Biden is not necessarily on board with that. And there have been people, particularly legislators, that have been calling for, the ending of student loan debt. So, of course, we see the Biden administration meeting them 50-50 with $50,000 in debt. Leah, I just wanted to ask you, let me ask you, excusing $50,000 in student loan debt, how would that affect your life?
Well, that would be excellent for me personally. I would be grateful, but I mean, it's not forgiving all of it, because there are people who went to private schools, which are just way, way more expensive, and $50,000 isn't going to cut it. And also, I saw a meme the other day, and at first it made me chuckle, but then it kind of stuck with me, and it was one of those trolley memes. I don't know if anyone has heard of those, but it's like, okay, if you forgive the people, if you forgive student debt now, that's awesome for future people, but what about all the people who already wasted their lives paying off their student debt? What about retroactively? It's kind of a similar argument to freeing people who are in jail. Like, what about the people who have already spent time? It's ridiculous. But yeah, yeah. It would be good. $50,000, I'd be happy.
Well, can I just say something too? Well, about is it up to 50,000 now? Because I heard he was only talking about 10. So that's my first question.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big, huge, huge disappointment, because he was talking about student loan forgiveness, and then once he's in office, he it's 10. As far as, you know, people being upset because they've already paid off their loans, that's like saying, I'm not going to feed the hungry because I ate today. You know, I'm glad you could pay off your loans, but these people are still in trouble and they need help. So that's how I feel about that, you know. And, you know, this whole thing, you know, student loans used to be the loan to get, because there was minute interest on it and they weren't penalized in any ways. And then after the 2008 a recession, whatever you want to call it, but they lifted the limits on the interest limit, and they started getting hit harder and not getting any relief from Obama and Biden. During that recession, they've just fallen further and further behind. So
big bailouts, the schools lost a lot of federal funding, and that forced a lot of them to raise fees and so on and so forth. Sure. And a lot of people lost out. Now, I have to say myself, I've paid off my student loan debt, and I'm very thankful for that. But I finished graduate school in 2009. So there was this period from 2009 till about 2017 where I didn't have money, because I finished grad school right as the recession hit. So I couldn't find a job. Right. I was freelancing, you know, trying to grasp at straws to survive. And on top of everything, trying to pay rent at the time, or giving my parents money when I had money, or just trying to live my life, on top of everything, I had to pay $200-$400 a month for my student loan. So that hurts my ability to pay rent. That hurts my ability to drive a car. And, you know, for an entire generation, or at this point, a number of generations that are trying or struggling to survive, it's to not even address that, when we're giving these trillion-dollar tax cuts, to not address you know, student loan forgiveness, it's criminal. It's criminal.
Absolutely.
I did want to comment on something. For those of us that are watching Brian's got the whiteboard in the back. Now, Brian, since the beginning, has been saying, I mean, and he's been saying that Biden is really good at backing him. I don't know the phrase he used, backing himself.
He's engaged in serious bargaining against himself.
Bargaining. Yep. So bargain. Okay, that's what it is. Bargaining against himself. So.
What it's proving is that Joe Biden is both a shitty and great bargainer.
He's a better bargainer than Trump, I guess. I don't
know. Because when you bargain by yourself, you always win and you always lose. It's awesome for Joe. although the rest of us are getting, no, what I've done here, yeah, Kate actually being on the editorial board has a lot of perks. You will get to pick a show subject if you win our pool, which we now have two of because of this conversation. Because I'm very excited about this because I know I'm not getting any fucking money. I might as well get some entertainment out of Kate, a member of our editorial board. How much money do you think the Biden check will be? So far, we've got, we started out with 2 G's, which is what President Joe Biden said himself, but that's not going to happen because immediately after getting elected, he talked himself back to 1400. Chris says 1200. I said 800, but that was like 2 weeks ago. And quite frankly, if I had to bet now, it'd be zero. But curious, what's your number for the pool here?
My number for the pool, well, it varies because first his promise was 2000 immediately. Now it's 14,000 in March, possibly
1400. Let's not get there.
1400. Right. And now he's also throwing in looking at a new threshold. So it depends where you are. So I got that 600. But I'm close to the threshold. And honestly, I'm still working and I've been fully employed this whole time. So I don't know why I'm getting a check. So that's why I've donated to like your show and other things because I have the money. And so I'm trying to help where I can. I would say the next check, I would say it's going to be 1400, but not everybody who got the six is going to get it.
We're going to go prices right on this. 1400's already taken, so you can go a dollar over, or you can go a dollar below and make it $13.99 and be a dick to Bennett.
Well, can I go? Let's see. I can't go over though. I have to be under, but not over.
Whoever comes closest without going over, it's Price is Right style. So
you would want $13.99. What's really under the 12? What's I can't see what's 8?
800.
400
and 800.
I'm gonna go 801. 801. Oh. I watched the Price is Right.
Oh. All right. 801. And now we have a new pool starting, I guess. Based on how much money student debt gets relieved, which Joe is, quite frankly, doing the same thing now. And this is like, honestly, man, like, so this is why I'm such a curmudgeon about electoral politics and why I don't involve myself as much anymore. And, you know, why I'm kind of a douche about it is because, quite frankly, I'm sick of this nonsense. This is the Obama administration all over again, combined with the George W. Bush administration, basically, which is like the best of both worlds when it comes to economic and overseas terrorism. And, you know, what led to Trump was that. So, like you said, we're better than when Chris starts out and says, well, you know, yeah, he's better than Trump. I've got an upturned mop that would be a better president than Donald Trump. It's no kind of bar to set. And we have reinstated the conditions that led to Donald Trump. At the same time, we just had a conversation with our good friends at the Idavox Network about right-wing militias infiltrating Black Lives Matter successfully on a million-hitted YouTube channel. Are you doing math with me right now? Yeah. It's not a good answer at the end of that equation.
Yeah, I see a worse Trump coming in 2024 because already, you know, the progressives got Biden elected and he's already thrown them under the bus. You know, he's already disowned, you know, doesn't think we exist. And that's why I'm with Movement for the People's Party. We plan on running a 2024 presidential candidate for sure.
Go ahead, Leah, because then I have a question for Kate. Go ahead.
I had a little question. I'm noticing a little pattern, and it feels kind of like gaslighting what they do, because it was like, 2000, and then they're taking it down a little bit. It's like, okay, they're still giving us money. That's nice, I guess. And they kind of just want you to forget what they promised. And I'm kind of scared they're going to do that with, like, the student loan money. Like, I wonder if we're even going to get anything in the end. And I just want to know if you guys think we're even going to get student loan money.
I just want to say this is why one of the reasons it's important to have third parties, right? Because the Democrats aren't going to do anything because they know that on the other side of the door are the Republicans and Trump. And they know that progressives know that. Right. And there's the progressives that don't vote. Right. Whatever. But for the ones that do. right? It's kind of like they got us, right? I'm not an accelerationist. I got a wife. I got nieces and nephews I'm trying to take care of. I don't want a civil war. I don't want any of that. I'm not a 22-year-old anymore, right? So for me, I mean, I'll leave it there. But Kate,
talk with Leo about what she brought up. Well, this is what the Democrats do. They promise stuff, and people get all happy. Like so many people are all happy because he's signing a bill or an executive order to end federal contracts with private prisons. Well, that doesn't cut out the state private prisons. It doesn't stop ICE. It doesn't, you know, but people don't know the details. And so they don't see that. And so they get all excited. But by the end of his term, people are going to be pissed and they're not going to fall for it again. You know, Trump was horrible and a lot of progressives, you know, in New Jersey, they say you don't have to vote for, you know, the Demo Republican because you're safe. It's going to go Democrat. But I just felt like the more people that voted for Biden, you know, to get him out of office. But normally I would have voted third party, you know, the Green Party. Although, honestly, I felt like Howie was like, it was like watching a slug cross the road because compared to Jill Stein, he just had absolutely nothing going for him. But
I had to work for that potato head.
We talked about that while it was happening. That was fun.
Yeah, we were covering that right here on this station, which is the disaster that was. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Kate.
That's okay. And so, progressives aren't going to do that again. Progressives aren't, you know, you can't do this, you know, in two presidential elections, say, you know, we're not Trump. You know, and then you can't lie to us. And expect us to fall for it again. And so that's why I'm very proud of the People's Party. We're registered as a party in two states already and really building. We've just had another electoral committee meeting for New Jersey here and working with national and really pushing this. We're not going to be a third party. We're going to be a new major party. And
I'm sorry, Leah, go ahead.
I want to say I appreciate your answer very much, Christian and Kate. And if I'm to understand what you're saying, it's basically you guys aren't making any promises for the Democrats, but you can kind of say that a third party would be a much better way to vote if you're interested in getting any sort of student loan relief or social justice at all, for that matter.
Well, absolutely, because the two parties, that I call them Demoplicans, you know, it's one party, Demoplicans. And they're servicing the people who support them, and that's business and private industry and corporations. And
yeah, you must be talking.
Yeah,
you must be talking about the Republicrats.
There you go. Yes, I am. I am.
Joe Biden and Barack Obama—they are totally tied to this. I just want to make this one last point: it's in 2008, Barack Obama had this amazing campaign infrastructure where he was able to mobilize thousands, if not millions of people to help get him elected, right? And part of the price he paid to show that he was a member of the status quo was he totally liquidated that infrastructure, right? So he had 8 years as president where he had, you know, for lack of a better term, an army of supporters that he could have used to push things like healthcare, to push things like ending wars or racial equality or anything. And the price he paid to show that he was a member of the status quo was to dissolve that infrastructure. That could have been a game changer in the history of American politics, and Obama literally just let it evaporate.
Yeah, and I don't think I think he got a feel for, you know, his position and his power, and he liked it. And quite frankly, I've heard shortly after him he left office, I heard a speech where he was speaking to some big whatever, and he was like, hey, oil prices are up. You can thank me for that, you know, because he, you know, it's just like when he played with the DAPL pipeline. He waited till the very end to like put some kind of stupid thing in so that it would get passed on to Trump's administration, and Trump immediately okayed it. Yeah. You know, he promised them that he would take care of them, and he went out to Standing Rock in 2014 to get their support, and he promised he would take care of them. He totally backstabbed them, you know, totally. It's just like when he went to Flint and took a sip of water and said, oh, it's fine. You know, he's just full of shit, if you ask me. And Biden was with him.
with the third parties, because, you know, I organized with the Green Party for years in New Jersey, you know, as a local party. And that was like an act. I always thought of it as like an activist organization. And what I think, you know, it's not just that we need a third party. It's that I think we need to think about what a political party is differently, because, and what I fear with MPP or anybody trying to get into this electoral sphere is that you just act like Republicans and Democrats, but you think because you have some different principles that that's going to be better. And it could be. It could be that we get a progressive party that moves things forward like Medicare for All, and that's fine. But I don't think ultimately that the goal, you know, for a revolutionary, right? Like we talk about, I want a different system of government. And I think in order to have a different socialist system of government, we need a political party that provides political education. And what I mean by that is right now, if I want to run for office, I can go to my local Democratic Party club, give money to the right people, and I can run for office, right? And that's how it works. And then I can promote whatever I want in office. If I want to be for guns or against guns or for or pro-abortion or whatever, doesn't really matter who supports me in the proletariat, in the working class, in the oppressed and disabled communities and things like that. It doesn't matter because I paid my way in. And for a political party to really function, and I know you guys don't take corporate money and MPP, and there's other ways of checking this, you know, but you have to take people in and start teaching them how to run a society, not run a political party, not get yourself ahead, not win the next office, not win an election. You have to teach people how to run a society, because that's what government's supposed to friggin' do. And until political parties take that kind of education, that kind of application of principle, and in my case, I'd like it to be Marxist principles, but at this point, I'll take any set of principles so we don't have anything. And so, I mean, that's where, you know, when we ask about third parties or, you know, electoral processes, Leah made the comment, you know, when we were chatting a little bit, why'd I hit Bernie? Why did I say I felt Bernie took the movement backwards? And it was pretty simple, because you didn't take that mass of proletariat support he had and do something purposeful with it as far as building a better formation. He sucked it right back into the Democratic Party and told people to vote for Joe Biden, which honestly, we all kind of knew he was going to do anyway. It wasn't a big letdown. But for those involved, for those who gave 5, 6, 7 years of your life to Bernie Sanders, it was a huge letdown. And I saw a lot of people seriously depressed, dealing with serious mental health issues, because Bernie Sanders abandoned them and went back into the, and is basically a Democrat. He can call himself an independent. So, you know, I think it's important when we analyze these parties and how they function that we really start to question what a political party is and whether or not we want, you know, a socialist system of political education or not in this country.
Yeah. The Democratic Party stopped being the party of the working people a long time ago. I brought it up repeatedly here. Bill Clinton was the president. The Democrat was the president who said we were going to end welfare. He was going to end welfare as we know it. Right. He's the one who I can't remember the guy's name. He executed a mentally ill man to show the Republicans that he was tough on crime. So, I mean, these are the Democrats we have. These are the Democrats we get. And they realized after getting shellacked in a couple elections that they needed to be more welcoming to corporate power. And the price that got paid was support for unions, support for people of color outside fake wokeness. And this is what got us Donald Trump. You know, they're fake identity politics, fake wokeness, as opposed to systemic, you know, criticisms of systemic racism. This is what we get. This is 2020 and now 2021, which everybody thought it was the year. It's not the year.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not the year. But, you know, I don't know about how we would teach a society, but, you know, as far as the People's Party is going, is everything is member voted on. Candidates are being vetted that by national at this time, and probably it'll be go down to states as it gets larger, but not anybody can just say, I'm going to run on the People's Party ticket. You can't give us a large sum of money to be able to do that. We have a lot of people. The main people who started the People's Party, the movement for People's Party, were Bernie Sanders delegates and part of his national team in 2016. And knew after working with the DNC that the Democratic Party will never allow a progressive to be in any position of power within any political anything, you know?
Yeah.
When Bernie ran this time, I said, well, do I really want to try this again? And, you know, this time what they did was they got all of the other candidates to drop out and back Joe. And I mean, Bernie was on his way to win. I mean, after Nevada, that was it. And so they did what they had to do to stop him. You know, and I don't know what Bernie's thoughts are on why he stays, you know, and didn't switch parties. You know, I don't want to believe that, you know, that he loves them in any kind of way. You know, if he believes he can do more by being there. I mean, if he's actually going to be the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, I mean, like, that's like awesome. He's already threatening, you know, Joe with all kinds of things, you know, and the problem is Joe Biden's going to negotiate with Republicans, and there's no reason to. We have full control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. Like, why are we negotiating? I can remember in 2008 yelling at Barack Obama when he kept moving backwards on his health plan because the Republicans kept saying, oh, well, if you do this, we'll consider it. And so he'd go back and he'd do that and he'd come to them and they'd go, well, maybe now if you do this, and it wound up being crap.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's just going to out, you know, right out negotiate with them when there's no reason to. It's just ridiculous.
Notice how you still saying we when referring to the Democratic Party, Kate. Oh, God.
Oh, sorry. You know,
it's all right. We'll get
this. I don't mean to.
Get out. Chop here on Revolution Radio a little bit. I will.
And I appreciate what you're doing, but I think it is. And yes, like, well, how do I teach a society? Well, we don't have a real, like I said, we don't have real principles as a society. I think we have to, but there have been some demonstrations, I think, and I'll see even recent ones like the Poor People's Campaign where they had their 14 points, but all that was Democrats drawing people in for Hillary Clinton. And that was it. I mean, it was not really real. And I think, but that was a demonstration maybe of some principles and values that I saw and said, hey, that might make a better society. So I think things like that make a better. And when you say, well, like, I appreciate, and I really do appreciate, you know, what you say, like, well, everything's democratically voted on. That's great. Things are democratically voted on in this country, too. We still wind up with Trump. It's really about holding to your principles and creating something that values better democracy. Because even, I mean, I saw it, especially in a small third party, narcissists are really frigging good at getting in those places because they can basically, I mean, I walked into the Green Party and became, and like right now you walked in and I know you're a good person. I'm not saying this is you, but you walked in the door and you're a state lead organizer. I walked in the door. I was like chair of some committee or something. You know, it's very easy for a dipshit to come in there and screw everything up. And so if you don't have a system in place to stop that dipshit from coming in and take action and to at least have some kind of, you know, I don't want to call political education, some kind of way through the door that makes sure that people are competent. You know, I mean, that's important. And we don't do that. Nobody does it. This country doesn't do it. The left doesn't do it. The right doesn't do it. Our executive branch doesn't do it. So, you know.
Well, I couldn't just walk in and say I'm going to be the state organizer. I had to be vetted by the regional
coordinator. Your position there, but
I mean, anybody creating a hub, you're vetted, and they want all your social media accounts and all that stuff, and you're vetted, and you can't just get in there and start. You know, the workspace was infiltrated by some people causing disruption, and they cleaned them out. They just cleaned them out after months of trying to work with them and see what their real issues were. And it really was, they were just causing trouble. And MPP, the higher ups had to just, clean them out. And it was not nice, but they're not putting up with the disruption and the, and it wasn't just people were spoken to before they were, removed from the workspace.
Months to do that, huh?
Yeah, well, because it was a lot. And
the next round of it's already there. There's the next round. You're there. I said the next round of it's already there, working its way in for the next time.
Well,
if you're running a third party in this country, get ready for multiple constant disruptions from people trying to fuck with your heads.
Oh, please. But when I started in August, people from the Green Party here in New Jersey were like, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I couldn't believe some of the people that you and I know, Brian, were just, I don't want to name names straight out, but you know who they are. And they just wouldn't, they harassed the crap out of me all over Facebook, all over Facebook.
Where is the movement for, where the MPP, where is your power base? Like, where are you located? Where is, like, national headquarters?
We don't have a national headquarters, but well, Nick Brana, who started it, he was Bernie Sanders. Who was he on Bernie's campaign? It was his job to talk to all the superdelegates to try and get them to back Bernie. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that being your job? So anyway, so Nick and a couple other people started after the 2016 convention. And actually it started with a movement to draft Bernie for People's Party, and Bernie, after a couple months, I don't know if there were back and forths or whatever, but just told them straight out that he wasn't going to do that. So in 2017, they started the movement for a People's Party. But Nick, I believe, lives in Virginia or Maryland, and but there's people, you know, there's people in like the lead circles, the regional coordinators. There's one in Todd lives in Ohio, Carol lives in Michigan. Jessica's in somewhere in the South. Phil's in Maryland. Phil's the Northeast regional coordinator. Michelle's in Kansas. So, you know, but everything's done online right now, you know, as far as organizing, everything's done online. We hope to have a founding convention in the late spring, early summer, where we can get together. We don't know if we'll be able to do that, but.
All right. Where can I find out more about the Movement for a People's Party?
peoplesparty.org.
What about New Jersey? If I live in New Jersey and I want to find out more about what you're doing in New Jersey, do you have something you can talk about yourself, like a Twitter handle, Facebook page? Is there a New Jersey MPP Facebook page?
There is a New Jersey Facebook page. It's New Jersey People's Party. One word, you know, you search it, you'll find it. But, you know, and I really don't, I post stuff that's going on in New Jersey on the People's Party page that would be interesting, you know, or that we could possibly, you know, build a coalition with other movements and stuff. But mostly for information, it's all national. You know, there's, pretty much everybody knows, you know, I'm the organizer in New Jersey. You know, it's real easy. Most people in all different groups and whatever know me from, you know, activism. But when you sign up on the national page, you know, the national page website has so much information on it. It's so transparent. The platform's on there. Our financial reports are on there. The organizing team, you know, the top organizing team is on there. But if you sign up to volunteer, it'll ask you what state you're in and what you're interested in doing as a volunteer. And then that will, you sign the community agreements, and that will get you an invite into Slack. Our Slack is our working space. Okay. And then once you're in Slack, you can connect with your state hubs, like a chapter, and that's where you'll get me if you don't know me already. But we have a monthly meeting the first Wednesday of every month, where we open it up to the general public, and you can come on and find out about us. And if you're interested, we can onboard you right there through there and get you in faster. We started in New Jersey when I started organizing. The Action Network for New Jersey People's Party had just under 1,800 people.
Wow.
And as of this morning, just in New Jersey, we have 3,681 people. So we've more than doubled in the 6 months that we've been organizing in New Jersey, or that I've been a part of the organizing in New Jersey. So it's taking a while to get everybody onboarded into Slack, because I can only talk to so many people at a time. But but if you're interested, please, or if you're in another state, if you're watching this and in another state, you know, join up with your state, and there's a hub near you and you can get connected. Or you can work on national stuff too, which has so much stuff you can do for national, including social media or tech, video, organizing, hub building. I don't know, it's phenomenal. Regenerative culture, if that's your thing. because we want everybody to be nice. We want everybody to know how you're supposed to treat people. So there is a teaching aspect. What do you mean, no, Brian? Yeah. I've never been a part of those regenerative cultures things. I'm just like a nice person. You know?
I'm from New Jersey. How the fuck is that going to work? Yeah.
So relative to what we were talking about earlier with the Idavox report, Jimmy Dore, I mean, for the most part, represents himself as being of the left. And then he platforms the Boogaloo Boys, who are responsible for murders and violence and all kinds of things. I want to say thank you for coming on today, Kate, because Revolution Radio is about bringing left-wing media to the masses, right? Mm-hmm. When we platform people, it's someone like you, Kate, someone that has something to share, someone that has, you know, a new political party, movement for a people's party, right? You're an environmentalist. You care about people. You care about healthcare, right? Leah jumped on board because she cares about the cause. We don't reach out to Nazis masquerading as allies. And I think that it's important that I think New Jersey Revolution Radio or Revolution Radio now, it's going to take me a while to get that straight. But this is why it's important. This is why this type of media is important. And this is why when you're watching this, please, please, please donate and join our editorial board. njrevolutionradio.com/donate. If you can give $5 and then tell 5 people about this show, about our network, you would be doing your part. And absolutely. That's what we want.
Yeah. That's why thank you, Joe Biden, or actually Trump, for helping me to donate to
Your labor provided that money.
Yeah. So yeah. Money. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't thank Trump for anything. And probably not Biden either. It's horrible.
Chris, are we done? I think we're done, Brian. I want to say thank you. Thank you so much, Kate. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to mention? Anything else you'd like to talk about before we sign off tonight?
Just whatever you want to, whatever is close to your heart, people get involved with, you know, hopefully join People's Party movement because we're trying to take care of everybody. But whatever is close to your heart is, you know, people need you. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on today, Kate. Leah, always thank you for your work behind the scenes. Thank you for coming in front of the camera today. We appreciate everything you do here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Perez, our host from Modernity. More Revolution Radio. I don't know. Modernity, sir, are you going to come out with anything new?
Well, I came in with a video last week, and I'm going to do a video tonight also. So I think I had some unfinished notes for Jimmy Dore. So I think I'm going to record some notes tonight before I crash.
It's a great podcast. Pat, our editorial board member, was in the background. I got to pop him in real quick and get his number. Pat is unexpected. Hey, Pat, how you doing? Can you hear us? Oh, no, we can't hear him. His audio's not on. He's over there. You see, Pat, I need to get the number. If you're on the editorial board and you're listening, if you haven't signed up yet, you can go to www.njrevolutionradio.com. That's NJ, like in new journalism, njrevolutionradio.com. And you can become a member of the editorial board, and then we'll get Pat. How much is the Biden check going to be? It's Price is Right rules. You got to come as close as you can without going over. Right now, we've got 2,000, 1,400, 1,200, 801, and 800. What are you coming in at, brother? Oh, we can't hear him. You're going to have to flash me something.
No, I'm thinking. I really don't have any idea, you know? I mean,
nobody knows. That's the fun of it.
$1,237.
No, we got to go. So you're going to go at 1201? You're going to come in at?
Yeah, 1201. That's a good idea. Right.
But this is my comrades here. They got to make everything complicated. Right?
It's a moving target. It's one thing one day and one thing the next day. So I don't blame Pat for taking his time.
I think we may end up getting nothing, but we'll see.
You know,
I'm telling you, man. I think I placed my bet too early. I should have waited. It would be zero. Leah, are you in at zero?
For me, I'm certainly in at zero. I haven't gotten anything yet, but for you guys, let's call it like 600, because that's kind of a low guess.
You're gonna say 600? I'm telling you, I think zero is a better bet, but okay. All right, Leah's in at 600.
Whatever we get, Wall Street's gonna get a lot more, I'll tell you that. No doubt about that.
You can tune into this nonsense on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. It comes
after these serious discussion usually, but it's nice to break it down and have a little bit of fun with our comrades. So please tune in. Please share this out. Check us out. We're on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and all over the place. So wherever you're checking us out on the Revolution Radio Network, please make sure you share it. It's important that people know that independent, anti-capitalist, grassroots media exists. Here's our really cool trailer. See you next week at 8 p.m.